It's on now. Get your charts out that you've been using. We've been talking about. We're going to look at those just a little bit tonight. We're in our study on prophecy, and we're studying the major events of the Word of God as related to prophecy. And you want to turn to Revelation chapter 16 tonight. Revelation chapter 16. And we'll be looking at some passages as we go through this. But we've been dividing up our study in four key events. The rapture of the church, which we've already talked about. We're talking about the tribulation. And this is part number seven of the tribulation. And we've spent, this is our fourth study on the tribulation. And we've looked at the tribulation in two different ways. There are events in heaven that take place. We studied those. We saw how the judgment seat, the Bema seat, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've studied those. And then last week we began studying about the events on earth during the tribulation period. And so go back one slide, if you would, to the chart. And those of you who've got your chart, and let me see if I can get my lady pointer to work here again. Okay, so this is where we are right here. The events on the earth during the 7 years of tribulation. We talked about some things last week, how the time of tribulation occurs immediately after the rapture and God begins to pour out his judgment. We see the rise of the Antichrist. The Antichrist does not come on the scene until after the rapture of the church, okay? So please, don't start buying into all these guys who say they have identified who the Antichrist is, because he will not make himself known until after the rapture. That's in 2 Thessalonians. And so, he'll rise to power, help bring the world together. He'll make peace with Israel. He will sign a covenant with Israel. He will allow Israel to build the new temple in Jerusalem, to revitalize in Jerusalem, and they'll build the new temple. And then tonight, we're going to pick up here, because this seven-year period in the book of Revelation, John divides this seven-year period of tribulation into two equal parts. The first 3.5 years, or is referred to as 1,260 days, is known as the first part of the tribulation, and there are judgments that are going on, and we saw a list of those on the other chart that you have, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There are judgments, the seal judgments begin, and the trumpet judgments begin, and we have a lot of things going on. But relatively, he brings peace to the world among all the nations. The Antichrist and then the false prophet leads a one-world religion together with a one-world government, one-world economy, and they make peace with Israel. And even though many of the judgments are going on, and there's a lot of catastrophe and a lot of destruction going on, much of the world militarily will be at peace. But that's going to change in Revelation chapter 11, chapter 12, 13, and especially where I've asked you to turn to in chapter 16 tonight. And it is at this point that we find the turning point of the tribulation. In the middle of the tribulation, some very important things are going to happen. And you're in Revelation chapter 16, and I invite you to stand as we honor God's word. Let me just share the first few verses of this, and then we'll talk about it and go into it. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had taken the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and mountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and which was, and shalt be, because thou hast judged this. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and has given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had the power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give up her wrath of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague, and the plague thereof was exceeding great. Father, thank you for your word. And as we study this great, terrible time called the Great Tribulation, I pray that we'll be moved and stirred to share the gospel and win others to Christ to avoid these terrible days that will come upon our earth. I pray, Lord, as we get understanding of the Word of God, that you'll help us to know that you have everything under your control in your time. And I pray, Lord, that we'll have an understanding of these events and knowing that, Lord, your day of coming could be soon. It could be today. May we be ready. May we be faithful. May we be obedient in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. And you may be seated. Okay, John, you can go ahead to the next slides now. As we're looking at these events of the tribulation and as we go to this part of it, notice the next slide here. We talked about that the tribulation period, this 7 years of tribulation, takes up the largest part of the book of Revelation from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19. And on the next slide, you'll see what the handout that I've given you. If you'll notice just here, the tribulation beginning right after the rapture, you have seven seal judgments, you have seven trumpet judgments, and all these terrible things that will take place. We talked about the key figures in those things. But it is here at the middle of the tribulation period that God begins to pour out the worst of the judgments to ever see upon the earth. And we read these, the boils, the blood, the rivers, the heat, the darkness, the river Euphrates, the great earthquake, and the great hailstorm. All of these begin at the middle of the tribulation. And it is at the middle of the tribulation that several key events will take place and will signal what's going on. One of the things is, there are two witnesses that I mentioned last time that God will allow during the tribulation period, those first 3.5 years. Many of Bible scholars believe that this is Moses and Elijah because they were the two who were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And many of the things that are done during the tribulation, back in Revelation chapter 11 that talks about these two witnesses, very similar to the things that the ministry of Moses and Elijah. God will give them special powers. They will be witnesses during the first 3.5 years. They will be protected. They will make enemies with the Antichrist. Anybody who tries to harm them are killed. They will cause miracles to happen. They will cause great signs and wonders. And then at the very end of that first half of the tribulation period, God is going to allow those two witnesses to be killed. And their bodies, according to Revelation chapter 11 and according to 2 Thessalonians, their bodies will lay in the streets for 3 days. And they'll have a party. And they'll give gifts. People look like Christmas. People will be exchanging gifts. There'll be a celebration time. And the Bible says that the whole world will see their bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. Now, when John wrote this, that was just like something that was just kind of crazy to think about. But it's not crazy to think about today. Something that could happen anywhere, any time, can be seen by the whole world live. Okay? And so after 3 days, God is going to miraculously raise those two witnesses to life. They will be resurrected and they'll be taken up and rise up to heaven in front of the whole world. The whole world will see it. And it will show the power of God. And that will begin and that will happen there at the middle of the tribulation. At that same time, the Antichrist, who has set himself up as this one world leader, is going to break his covenant with Israel.
And he is going to be martyred. He's going to be murdered. And Antichrist's body is going to lie in state. And during that time, he will also be resurrected because Satan is going to take over his body. We see those things mentioned in Revelation chapter 13 and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Antichrist is going to mimic the resurrection of Jesus and being indwelled by Satan. Satan will take over the body of the Antichrist. And at this point, everything breaks loose into the worst part of the history of the world. He'll break the covenant with Israel. He'll set himself up. The Antichrist will go into the temple and into the altar, and he will set himself up as the Messiah. Daniel refers to this as the abomination of desolation. And it is this point when everything is going to break loose. All the countries of the world will begin to make war against each other. He will carry out some of the worst destruction upon those who are beginning, those Jewish believers who are now following the Messiah, through the witnesses of the 144,000, through the witnesses of the two witnesses, and all of those who are coming to Christ are going to be martyred. They're going to be murdered for their faith. And at that same time, these seven vials of judgments are going to be poured out. As the judgments get worse, the situation in the world gets more chaotic and worse. All the governments begin to fight against you. All the wars begin to come together, and all the countries begin to make war against each other, and especially against Israel. And it is here, as we see in Revelation 16, at this middle part of the tribulation, where it all just breaks loose. Daniel chapter 9 records the fact that as the Antichrist breaks this covenant with Israel, sets himself up as the Messiah, and as the world breaks loose into the worst world war that has ever come, as they do, God begins to bring everything down to the point where he's leading the world to the place that he wants them to be. Now, when I study all this stuff, and there's so much here, and you could go into all these things and talk about it, but when you read, and I've stood in Armageddon's Valley of Megiddo. We stood there in that place, and Napoleon, the great leader Napoleon, said that the Valley of Megiddo is the greatest battlefield in all the world because of the layout and the place and the way it's done and all that. We read these passages of Scripture. We studied these passages of Scripture together. And I'll tell you something. You ever watched a horror movie and it just kind of give you the goosebumps and the hair stand up on the back of your head? You're watching something just scare the daylights out of you? You know what I'm talking about? Listen, when we stood in the Valley of Megiddo and we read these passages in Revelation and in Daniel and 2 Thessalonians, man, I'll tell you what's true. I just got, woo! I mean, it just went up and down my spine. I was just like, oh man, this is unbelievable. I'm standing in the place where the greatest battle of all the world is going to take place. And it's going to be all orchestrated by God himself. God is going to bring it to his time and the way he wants it. He's going to dry up the river Euphrates to allow the kings of the east to come. And all of this is going to come together exactly the way God has planned it. And when it does, and the worst of it takes place, notice, and you can go ahead to the next slide. This second half of the tribulation of this 7 years is actually referred to as the Great Tribulation. This is the worst of the worst. It's worse than anybody's ever seen before. It will never be any worse than it takes place. And all of these things come together, and all of these events as they're taking place, and I know I'm summarizing things really quickly, but when you get to it, and it comes down to one final battle, and it is the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon takes place, and we see it referred to in chapter 16 and in verse 16. And then as that takes place, it is all the destruction of that one world government that's referred to as Babylon here in chapter 17 and chapter 18 of Revelation. And then in chapter 19, as all of this stuff, these armies of the world come together, they fight against each other, they come to fight against Israel. Zechariah even records that when this battle is taking place, that it even, in Zechariah chapter 14, that there will even be house-to-house combat in Jerusalem and in Israel. Can you imagine the terrible destruction that will take place? But when all of these things happened, and the great hailstones that fall, that the weight of a talent, that's over 100 and something pounds apiece. Could you imagine a hailstone fall? We see little hailstorms with little pellets, you know, and you know how they bang up your car and break windows. Could you imagine a 100-pound hailstone storm covering the whole earth? It's just terrible. It just wipe everything out. But God will preserve Israel. God will preserve Jerusalem through all that. And when the battle of Armageddon comes together and all the worlds come together to fight each other and they can't settle, all this is doing is God bringing the world together because he's setting everything up for the next event that we're going to talk about next week. And that is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything is going to come together. In fact, I'm going to give you a little preview.
This is just whet your appetite so you'll show up next Sunday night, okay? In chapter 19, after the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place in heaven, and then we all come down. And verse 19 of chapter 19. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast and the false prophet and worked miracles that deceived those who had taken the mark of the beast and worshipped the image. These were cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever with brimstone.
It is here that we're going to see the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all is going to come together just like this. And everybody's talking about it. You see people thinking, well, you know, the world's going to break out in a world war. Somebody's going to push a button and blow us all up and the whole earth's going to be destroyed. Nope. Ain't going to happen that way. You know why? Because Jesus said this is the way it's going to happen. God's got it all taken. So I go to bed tonight and I'm not worried about who's going to push what button.
Because God's not going to let them push a button. He's not going to let it work. Because God has got it laid out exactly like this. This is how it's going to happen.
All these things are going to take place. It's going to be this event, this event, this event, these things, And those people who are living through the tribulation period, all they got to do is read Revelation and Daniel and 2 Thessalonians, and they'll know exactly what's going on. They'll know exactly what's coming next. And they'll know what's happening because it's going to happen exactly like he said.
Now, we spent 4 weeks talking about the tribulation. We could spend 14 weeks on Sunday nights dealing with all the events and the people and the characteristics. I don't want to spend that much time because there's so much involved, because there's other things I want to get to.
But notice this. When God brings this battle of Armageddon, and when that takes place, it's not just those armies coming together to fight Israel. Because when that does and they come together, what God has done is preparing for what we're going to see. And that's in Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to see that next week. Because next week, and if you'll go back, John, if you can, to back to the very first chart of our timeline, can you bring that up? And if you got your chart and a timeline, you can look where we are. This is where we are, at the end of the tribulation period. That end of that 7 years, and the Battle of Armageddon takes place in the final days of this tribulation. It is setting up for the glorious appearing, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be the greatest event of all history. And you got to come next Sunday night for us to talk about it, okay? You got to be ready. But by the way, before we get back here next Sunday night, that first event could take place, the rapture. It could take place tonight. And all these things could begin to happen and all these things fall into place. There's nothing that needs to happen. So what do we learn from all this? Well, the conclusion and the concluding slide, John, that last slide there is one that I gave you last week and I'll give it to you again. Thank you, John. We need to be faithful in doing exactly what we've heard about tonight and what I preached about this morning, sharing the gospel. We need to be faithful in sharing the gospel so that people will be saved and not have to endure and live through the tribulation. I mean, if we care about folks and care about anything, that's what we need to be doing. And that is knowing that Jesus is coming back at any time and at any moment. Let's stand in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for the sweet testimony we've heard tonight of faithfulness, of when we share the gospel, how that people will come and be saved. Oh, Lord, I pray that in these final days, Lord, the days before you return in the rapture, that you'll find us being faithful and obedient and sharing the gospel. May we find those opportunities and take those opportunities to witness and to tell others about the love of Jesus and to tell others how they can be saved. Lord, because if they don't, and if you come back, they will have to endure this terrible tribulation period and be separated from God forever. But Lord, I pray we'll be faithful. And as we've been encouraged tonight, by one of our own folks who went out this afternoon and shared the gospel and witnessed, and a 15-year-old boy got saved. Lord, I pray that we'll have more of those stories to tell even next week, Lord, of what you've done as we've been able to share your good news. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your people and your church. And I pray you'll help us live for you and serve you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.